All right, let's ask the Lord to help us. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it's living and it can speak to our hearts, Lord, and can direct our paths. In a time in our country when things are getting very dark, we have the light of your word. We have the light of your presence. Help us, Lord, as your children, as your daughters, that we might focus our attention on you and not what's going on around us. May we be lights in this dark time. Lord, speak to our hearts today, and I pray that you'd speak through me and that you would put thoughts in my mind that need to be said. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise for whatever is accomplished here this morning. Thank you in Jesus' name. Okay. He was wicked and vicious and full of vice. His mother didn't care about his morals. As an adult, he set fire to the wooden structures in his city so he could rebuild them as a monument in stone to himself. To take the focus of attention off of him starting the fires, the Christians were blamed. He had them rounded up. Some were fed to wild dogs, others were fed to lions, and others were dipped in tar and lit live to light his garden parties. He indulged in every kind of evil pleasure. He heard members of the Senate were conspiring to kill him, but he turned around and had them killed instead. Both Peter and Paul suffered martyrdom by this man. He was the last Caesar of Rome. His name was Nero. And yet, in that, Paul pens this: let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Pretty sobering to think that that was penned during the reign of Nero. You need to remember that whatever form of government, whether it's communism or democracy or socialism, God is in control of it. I think David is probably the best example of in the Old Testament, and we've studied him before. But just as a refresher, King Saul became mad after the Lord left him, and God used him to develop David. Now Saul was out, and his army was out to kill David off, and he had a terrible jealous rage towards him. David was the anointed king to be, but David wouldn't touch King Saul. David waited on God, even though he had two opportunities to kill off Saul, and his men said, God has delivered Saul into your hand, go for it. But David wouldn't touch the anointed king. That's something to think about. We know from studying the Old Testament that the Lord would use a wicked nation against his own people to discipline them and to punish them because they went into idolatry. I hope you like that question. Yeah, none of them. But it was a think about, and that's really the point of a Bible study, is to get us into the Word and get us thinking. There's, you know, it's got to be in our lives. It's got to be in us. But I enjoyed writing that question about Pharaoh and Moses and Nero and Paul and Pontius Pilate and Jesus. Pontius Pilate and Jesus was easy to see, wasn't it? But Hitler and World War II, we know that the world had great sympathy towards the Jews because 5 million of them were killed. And so that gave them, I often say, it took 5 million Jews' death to give them the down payment of their land. But in 1948, they were given their land back. when we think about Hitler and Stalin, Stalin killed 3 times as many people as Hitler did. He was just ruthless. And they came into power, and you think, God's behind that? Well, I don't know. There'll be some questions when we get to heaven, I'm sure. It'll make some sense, though, when we see the Lord. But those men were divinely placed. I often think about what they came out of. Both Hitler and Stalin were seminary students at one time. And you can see how they just turned against God and walked away from it all. That should be very sobering to us. But you say, well, wait a minute, isn't Satan the prince and power of the air? Yes, but he's under God. He can do no more than what God allows him. You know, the Jews hated paying taxes. And we all say, amen. And they wanted to get out of paying taxes to Caesar. And they went to Jesus. They were trying to really trick him. But remember what Jesus did? He asked the people, what is the image on this coin? And they said, Caesar. And Jesus very nicely said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. And when you think about that, the image of Caesar was on that coin, but the image of God is on man. Man belongs to God. It is something that we sometimes lose track of. Government should have limited powers. They should not enslave men. And yet when we studied the book of Revelation, we came across the fact that men will be back into slavery. And now we're beginning to see how that can happen, because money in our society may become worthless. And what will you barter with? You'll barter with whatever you have, and then it may be you have to barter with your very life in order to sustain your life. Personally, I hope to be in heaven by then with the rapture of the church. So that's, I'm putting my first thought into that. But the government should provide security. It should provide basic needs. It needs to collect taxes to do that. There's a saying that says every nation gets the government that they deserve. That should sober us up a little bit too. Well, let's get our attention off of government for a minute here. Have you ever struggled to obey the Ten Commandments? Well, I don't have any trouble with that. But if you've found it difficult to obey these demands, then that you shouldn't covet, or you shouldn't steal, or you shouldn't commit adultery or murder, it's really easy. All you have to do is love. If you act in love towards people, you won't hurt them. It's such a simple thought, and yet it's so profound. If you act in love towards them, you won't hurt them. You can't. And how we just would hope and pray that Christians would truly love others. That's what God has called us to do. Just think if we did. And then if we could just go out and sprinkle love everywhere, there'd be no more wars. There'd be no more divorces. No more crime. There'd be no more prisons. No need for courts of law. No police. You could leave your doors open at night. You wouldn't need taxes. Well, it sounds like a dream, doesn't it? But that'll happen during the millennium. That's yet to be. Clearly, our biggest problem is our lack of love for one another. It's our inability to want to choose to love others. This passage is telling us that the ability to love, that and nothing less than that, is the radical force Jesus has turned loose in the world by his resurrection. It has the power to radically change the world. Paul implies this change has to start with us. If we are Christians, we know that Jesus Christ has loved us and he has given us the power to love. You don't have to even ask for it. You have it. It's the debt we owe. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Owe no one. Now, a lot of people take that as to be money. I gave you a little handout just to give you some verses in Proverbs. I'm not going to go there because we have such a mess now in our country because we owe up to trillions and trillions of dollars. It can be very frightening to look at. But when you rub shoulders with people, we have to remember that your first obligation to them is to love them. Act in love towards them. Show courtesy, kindness, patience, understanding, and long-suffering, whatever it takes. Whatever the scene demands, you can show that. It is a debt that you owe. I really took that to heart. And I was trying to memorize our memory work for this week on Saturday. And Saturday night, we had a huge family get-together. And there were some outlaws there. And I went, my usual way of doing it is trying to avoid them. And the Lord was really telling me very clearly, you need to love them. Oh, Lord, I don't want to love them. But then I kept thinking, oh, no man, anything but to love one another. So I went out of my way, and then I would be talking to the Lord the whole time. Now what, Lord? What? Now what? And it was a fun experience. It really was. And it just changed my whole outlook. So now, and every time I'm meeting with a stranger, you know, we go to the grocery store, we go to the library, we go to different places and run into people. Just think of that. Oh, this person, love. It'll change your whole thought. It will give you such encouragement, and it's really fun to do. You know, we're told by the Lord to love our enemies. So you can love your in-laws, your outlaws, and just see what God will do through it. If we would say to ourselves every day, every time we met someone, I need to show love to this person. And then, of course, somebody's going to say, well, who is my neighbor? You know, we want to have the fine print. My neighbor, the guy lives next door? No. The Lord is really telling us it's anyone that God puts in your way during the day. And you know, you fulfill the law, you go even way beyond the law. The law says don't harm your neighbor. But here, if you love them, do good to them, reach out to them, and minister to them and help them, that's another way of loving beyond the law. It's impossible to love your neighbor and harm him at the same time. It's very practical. Love will not sleep with your neighbor's husband. Love will not, of course, we never call it that, do we? We always say, we had an affair. Yeah. But really, bottom line, it's adultery. And I've talked to too many people that have gotten involved in that and the horror that comes afterwards. Love will not murder your neighbor. It won't poison his dog or throw garbage in his yard. Won't borrow the clippers and not return them the same day. And then you won't stick your head over the fence and covet everything he owns. See, if you pay that debt of love, you won't injure him. But you know what? Sometimes it's easier to love outside of our home than some of the relatives that God has given us, the ones close to us. And but the Lord reminds us we're to love the unlovely. And you can begin to be challenged by that. You will find how much fun it is to start loving people that previously were either your enemy or you avoided. It's fun. And let me tell you, we don't have much time to do this, reaching out. Time is short. Our salvation is nearer than we first believed. Christ is coming back. The night is nearly over. This is probably the generation that will see the Lord return. I don't know, but I feel it. The truth is, the night is nearly over. That's the time for Satan to work. And every one of us has a very brief life. I was thinking about this yesterday. I was saying, boy, I could hardly wait to be 16, and then I could hardly wait to be 18, and then I could hardly wait to be 21. And then ever since then, it just seems to have gone by like water. It's just amazing how brief our life really is. So if we're going to love, it has to be now. We just live on the edge of eternity. You're a heartbeat away from eternity. You're a breath away from eternity. So if you're going to love, now is the time to do it. If you're going to live in love, there's certain things that have to go. I had a terrible time with getting this on the plastic film. It just didn't want to write. So I apologize for how awful it looks. I've gone over it about 10 times. But my pen had trouble writing fornication, adultery, homosexuality, and pornography. Isn't that weird? Oh, well, it's a challenge. Oh. Some things are incompatible with love. And I was thinking, there's not anybody in this room that I would think would live for empty and harmful pleasures, such as orgies and drunkenness and self-indulgences. But I've talked to too many people to know that can be very, people can fall into that very easily. It's, don't devote your life to seeking such things. You know, it's self-indulgence is really a one-end street. It's a dead-end street. Endless parties and plays and concerts and opera and watching television. You can't love and do that. Such a course is really wasting your life. You only have so many precious moments to show the mighty power of the radical love of Christ. Don't live for sex. But we're surrounded by it, aren't we? And fornication, of course, is anything outside of marriage. Adultery is within marriage. Homosexuality, we've studied in Romans 1. And pornography is the curse that's on the land these days because children can get into it. And men become addicted to it. And it's a terrible, terrible way to go. It devastates everybody. If you indulge in these things, you will hurt yourself first. You'll hurt others. You know, when I was teaching high school Bible, kids would say, well, pornography, you know, it's just me and the book or the me and the computer. I said, yeah, but you're destroying your mind with it and filling it up with things that shouldn't be in there. And once you destroy yourself, you're destroying those around you. Sex is a wonderful thing, but God has it for marriage. The third category is don't live for strife, cunning dissension, and jealousy. And I don't know if you can read that or not. There's people who get their kicks out of being dissenters, and it just seems like a lot of them find their way into churches. They just want to keep things stirred up, things on the edge. So you need to ask yourself, what is your effect on people? Do you bring harm or harmony? You know, people get stirred up when you're with them and can't wait to lose you around the corner, or they are they happier people when you're with them and that they're built up and feel the love of Christ through you? Well, in verse 11 it says, and do this knowing the time, that now it's high time to wake out of our sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. That is so true. We are asleep. I think maybe we're waking up as a country, but it's really sad to see the things that are going on. But I encourage you as Christians to keep your eyes on Christ. You're his child. He's going to take care of you, whether there's any money in the bank, or if your husband loses his job, or some of the other things that are going on right now. Don't look to the country or the world to buoy you up. You need the Lord, and keep your eyes on him. It's the night is far spent. Satan's domain is about over. And we need, as a body of believers, we need to put our trust in Christ and have our roots go down so that no matter what comes along, that we won't be shaken by it. Let us walk as properly as in the day. And verse 12 says, therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. You know, today you put on your clothes and you got your raincoat on and everything, but just think if none of us bothered to do that. And we were all sitting here nude. Well, it'd be pretty funny, right? But you'd say, no, that's indecent. We'd get arrested if we didn't put our clothes on. But how many of you took off today without putting on Christ? That's even far more serious than walking out the door without your clothes on. That's the one that you need to take time with. This is a difficult time. It's a difficult time in our country to see it go from a democracy into socialism. It's difficult, but the Lord's in charge. Please note, Paul puts strife and envy on the same level as drunkenness and lust. That should sober us up a little bit, too. You know, we think no big deal to have a squabble with somebody or envy somebody for something they have, but boy, to think it's on the same level as drunkenness and lust is pretty serious. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ when you get up in the morning. Make him your life that day. Talk to him. Lean on him. Live your life in Christ. Then put on your clothes. Far more important to put on Christ. And then ask the Lord to protect you, to act through you. And begin loving the people that you run into. It's really wonderful, wonderful thing to do. Call upon his resources. Live your life in Christ. That's the way to love. Our Lord loved people. He trusted in the lowly. He treated them with gentleness and kindness. Same thing with higher-ups. Everywhere people were struck with his compassion. Remind yourself of his presence all day. Well, I had a story to read and I didn't bring the book, so I don't think I did. Well, we'll have to skip the story, I'm sorry. Father, we thank you for the wonderful rain outside. We pray that it will fill up our reservoirs. Lord, you bless us so many times, and we so take it for granted, even the rain. And Lord, we thank you for life itself. We think, Lord, about this lesson, and we're grateful that you're in charge, that you control governments. Help us, Lord, to remember to pray for our president and his staff and our governor and his staff. Help us, Lord, to meet other people and remember that we're obliged. We have an obligation to love them. Lord, help us to do it through you. And then, Lord, before we ever put our clothes on for the day, help us to remember it's far more important to put on Christ than it is to put on our clothes, because the days are evil and the time is short. And I pray for any lady here, Lord, that has come and really is burdened down by life's experiences, that you would lift that burden. Indeed, you are the burden bearer, Lord. Our shoulders were never big enough to carry the weight of the world around on us. Help us, Lord, to give it over to you. And then I pray, Lord, that we might begin to see how you have called us to do far more than perhaps we've been doing, that we do need to love the unlovable, the ones that are struggling, some perhaps relatives that are difficult. Help us, Lord, to learn to be kind and accepting and encouraging to them. Oh God, that we might make a difference in this world. And Lord, we're grateful that you're in charge of the government, because there certainly isn't much of anything that we can do. But we look to you to guide and guard, and we'll give you all the praise for what you're going to do. I pray for each woman here, Lord, that you provide a safe journey home today in the rain, and that you would keep your hand upon them. And Lord, may we be encouraged by your word, for we love you today in Jesus' name. Amen.